You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio with my co-hosts, Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And we have some special guests in the studio this month. We have Candy Fink. She is the supervisor from Coastal Community Action Program in Iwako. Hi, Candy.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. And Larry Miller is the director of the Astoria Senior Center. Hi, Larry.
Hello. Thanks for asking us.
Oh, thank you for being here. Every month on A Senior Moment, we try to address an issue that is of relevance to seniors. This month, we're talking about nutrition and activities for seniors, and that includes good food, exercise, opportunities for that. It's something that everybody needs to focus on in their lives. But today we're going to be talking about opportunities and services in our area that are related specifically to seniors. So, Michelle, why don't we start with you? Michelle handles the Oregon side of things. Doug is the Washington side of things. Their agencies are tremendous clearinghouses of information about all kinds of issues. So if you hear anything on the show and you don't remember anything else, call them, because they will be able to direct you to any information about just about any topic relating to senior issues. So, Michelle, what kind of issues are you seeing in your realm of Oregon about needs for nutrition and activity for seniors?
Well, activity can be kind of a challenge for a lot of our seniors because, well, our weather isn't exactly sunny California. So, you know, rain and wetness and storm changes and things can make it very difficult for some folks to get out and do things. And so it's important to find a place that is warm and sheltered and has structured activity. We have a lot of activities that are they're evidence-based, and so they follow certain standards to make sure that what they do will be successful. And then there's some just general activities, even not exercise activities, but general craft and presentations and events and things that happen to keep your mind stimulated at the centers, and it's real important to do that. The nutrition centers that we have offer not only nutritious, well-balanced meals, but also socialization, coming and talking to other people your own age and getting some feedback about lifestyles and some ideas. They're wonderful places for people, so we want everybody to know about where they can go and all the options available.
Okay. Well, how about you, Doug, on the, you're sort of representing in our listening area, the Long Beach Peninsula and up into Pacific County and other places like that. So what are the issues you're seeing there for seniors relating to this?
Kind of the same thing. I think that one of the things that people need to understand is that the senior centers, if you see something labeled a senior center, it's kind of its own entity. So what you may find in one, you may not find in another. Some may have more activities, some may have less. Generally, they have, at least in recent years, they've really been combined with the congregate meal site. And depending upon the center, you might have physical activities, you might have card games. You might have some centers that are saying, we would love to provide activities if someone would be willing to come in and do some activities and get them started. So they do range everything from, some of them have yoga classes, some of them have card games, some of them have just a meal site. But the meal site alone, like Michelle said, is really a draw for people to sit down, socialize, talk, not have to explain everything they're remembering because the person at the table with you remembers that too, which I'm running into, by the way. Some of my references are apparently dated, as my children
Oh, no.
Say.
I hate
but,
that.
Yes. But, you know, if
Never
I'm
happens
to someone
me.
About Iron Butterfly and the Electric Prunes, I expect them to know what I mean.
Well, of course.
So anyway, but there's those type of things, and a lot of people go there just for that. That's kind of their outing for the day. They're going to have a nutritious meal. It's going to be in a great atmosphere. They're going to be with people with common interest. And so I just encourage people to contact each one that we'll be talking about today. And there are some others in the area that we can mention too. And see what's going on. Because some of them also are activity centers that are sort of nonprofit, private. And there might be like a $12 a year membership fee or something. The Peninsula Activity Senior Center in Clipson Beach is like that. They have a lot of activities and that kind of stuff. Different than the congregate meal sites. So it's good to call or call our offices and we can let them know what's going on.
So there are various centers around the region. If you are looking for a senior center, check out what's nearest to you. we have two people who represent a couple of those centers that are in our general area. Candy, why don't we talk to you first? You are representing Coastal Community Action Program in Ilwaco. Can you tell us what that is and what you offer?
Coastal Community Action Program, we do offer the congregate meals, and we also do Meals on Wheels deliveries. We deliver Mondays and Wednesdays. Monday would be one hot and one frozen. Wednesdays would be one hot and three frozen. And it's a three-course meal. You get your milk, you get your salad, desserts, everything. And we deliver more than 60 meals a day on those 2 days. They can come in and eat. It's between 10:30 and 12:30. Suggested donation is $3.50 for seniors 60 and over. Under 60, it's $6, and it's also the three-course meal, too. We have music, people that come in and play music on every Tuesday now, which has been really nice. Yes, all the seniors really love it. So,
is that during lunch?
That's during lunch.
Wow, that's great. Well, so what kind of turnout do you get for those aggregate meals, the where people come to the site?
About 20, 30 people. When Mardell makes her biscuits and gravy, it's usually full.
Wow. And so who does the cooking then?
Mardell does.
And who is, is she an employee?
She's been doing, Mardell's been doing it for 25 plus years for CCAP and then before it was Pace. So, she's been doing it a very, very long time. Everything is home cooked.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So where does the funding come from for your program?
A lot of donations or the Quarter Foundation, but a lot of donations. We get a lot of donations.
Well, what about the activity part of it? Are there other services that you offer at the center?
We don't have activities, so to speak, there. There is a piano there if someone wants to come in and play piano. Usually we get a nice large group of people. They all know each other, and they all come in and sit down and chat. Some come in extra early and sit there until the end of lunch just so they can meet with their friends.
And so just a question about getting there. Are most people brought there either by themselves or by relatives or friends? Or what about transportation?
Well, there's caregivers. There's a bus, or they get themselves there. And there's also Dial-A-Ride.
Let's look a little bit at Astoria. Larry Miller, you're the director of the Astoria Senior Center. Tell us a little bit about that place. What does it offer?
Well, right now it's an exciting time for the Astoria Senior Center. Recently, the City of Astoria and the Senior Center received a grant of $1.5 million. And so we've temporarily relocated from our center down on the 11th and Exchange to the Astoria Yacht Club. It had been remodeled for after the big storm, I think it was 2007, and so there's been a lot of city operating entities in there, such as the police department, the fire department, and the city hall. So it was vacant, and seeing as we needed to move so we could get out of our building and the remodel could start, we're now down at the Yacht Club as a senior center. And we'll probably be there until probably September of this year.
So what exactly is happening to the old senior center? What's the renovation going to do?
It's really, really great because I don't know if you've ever been in the senior center down there or not, but we were located on the top floor, and the basement or the bottom floor had been used for many, many years as kind of a catch-all storage place for Boy Scouts, Chamber of Commerce, City, et cetera. So it was about 6,000 square feet of lots of storage stuff that had been there lots and lots of years. And that's been cleaned out. And the Loaves and Fishes, which currently operates out of the Lutheran Church here in town and provides a meal service once a day and the Meals on Wheels to the Astoria folks, will be relocating to our senior center. And instead of having one floor at the senior centers we had in the past, we're actually going to have two floors. We'll have the top floor or the main floor, which is part of it's going to be developed into a commercial kitchen for the use of Loaves and Fishes. So we'll be serving meals out of the senior center, which we've never done before. And then, of course, we'll have the lower level. And believe it or not, that old building actually has windows down there that have been blocked in with cinder blocks, et cetera. So now they'll be opened up. We'll have a light, like a daylight basement. And so we'll be moving our craft room and our board room and a pool room, a game room, and everything down the lower level. And the top level will be the reception area and a lounge area. They'll have a dining facility and also a dance floor up there. So it's really, really exciting what's going to happen to the senior center.
Well, when it's back up and running, well, maybe just in general, talk about what kinds of services, what kinds of things can people do there at the center
Things they can do at the senior center, in addition to having the meals available, will be basically what we do now. We have exercise classes, we have line dancing, we have bingo every Friday. AARP uses our space to provide tax services during the tax season. They also provide safe driving classes 3 times a year at the senior center. We do our craft section. Their crafts are primarily cards and crocheting and knitting and stuff like that. And, you know, the ladies come in and do that there. And they had been really short on space in the old building to do it. We had one room which was used for many different things. And so their ability to use the room about whenever they wanted to just didn't exist. So now with the new center, or soon with the new center, they'll have their own craft room and sewing machines and everything there. And so in addition to that, we look forward to a jam session, which we currently run every Thursday night now, and it's open to the public down at the Yacht Club, and it will be at the new center when we open.
Can you talk a little bit about the Loaves and Fishes program? I mean, maybe people are not completely familiar with what that is.
Loaves and Fishes is currently located in the basement of the Lutheran Church on 12th and Exchange, and they serve one meal a day, a lunch meal. And I believe they charge $5 per meal. In addition to the one meal they prepare there and serve there at the church, they also have a Meals on Wheels program that serves meals out just like Candy's does. I can't really tell you how many meals they do because we really are not related to them. We're both our individual 501(c)(3) organizations, so I'm not really sure how many meals they serve, although they do have a new cook, and I've heard nothing but, I mean, nothing wrong with the old cook, Rod, who was there, but the new cook is just, he cooks maybe a little bit different, maybe uses a little more spices or something, but people are real excited about the meals they're receiving, and he's promised us that when they move into the senior center, he'll be preparing and serving 100 meals a day at the senior center.
Wow.
And I believe he'll do it.
So then you have, I guess that's another question that I have, is how many people show up for lunch?
Well, because we don't offer meals right now, I really don't know what his meal count is there. We're quite separated, and mm-hmm. we really don't, other than we have a friendly relationship, we really mm-hmm. don't have a working relationship because they're a total separate entity.
Well, Actually, Joanna, go ahead. I just called them this morning. And there's usually between 30 and 50 meals, and they can do higher than that, too. So, yeah, they do a pretty good business there.
And let me add there, though, since we have moved to the Yacht Club, we've made an arrangement with them that if folks want to come to the Yacht Club and need a meal, which a lot of them do, they're going to deliver as if we were Meals on Wheels down to the Yacht Club. So folks can call the church and get order a meal the day before and have their meal delivered to the senior center. So, because transportation is quite a problem for folks, so that solves some of that problem.
Yeah, that was my next question, was how do most of your folks that come to the center get there under their own power somehow, either a caregiver or they drive themselves?
Right now, yes, they do. When we were down on 11th and Exchange, it was quite easy for folks to come from like the Owens Adair building and the surrounding neighborhood. It's been quite difficult since we moved down there for transportation. At the senior center, we have a 12-passenger van or a small bus, and we've made that available to our members if they want to call and sign up. We'll come up to Owens Adair or the church or somewhere centrally located and pick them up and bring them to the senior center. And in relation to that, we run a shopping trip to Freddy's every Tuesday morning and to Safeway every Friday morning. And we've made it available so if they go shopping and then they want to come down to the senior center, we'll bring them down to the senior center after shopping, then bring them back to town in the afternoon.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just talk a little bit more about the transportation side of this. Candy, let me ask you about Ilwaco. You mentioned that there was a bus. Is that a municipal bus service up on the peninsula?
Yeah, we have that, and then we also have Dial-A-Ride.
And so can you talk a little bit more about that? What is that, and how would people access it?
Well, Dial-A-Ride, you call a day ahead of time. They would usually lead a few more days ahead of time, and they'll just come pick you up at your home. And I'm not sure how much that is. I don't think it's very much, $10, $11 a month. And then they just bring you back home at a certain time. So usually they'll drop them off at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then come pick them up at 12:30.
Wow. So, Doug, is that a Washington program? Talk about that a little bit.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's a transit program. Dial-A-Ride is, and it goes under a variety of different names in different places. But Dial-A-Ride is basically for people who would have difficulty accessing normal transportation, the normal buses. They'll have the wheelchair lifts, those type of things. It's usually a smaller bus and a lot more flexible. You're not, you know, waiting at the bus stop. They'll come and pick you up, and then they go on their route, pick other people up, and then they'll swing around and drop you off. So
how do people access that?
By calling the transit.
Oh, whatever the transit company is in your area. Okay. And so do you know anything about the cost? Was it about that, what you were saying?
No.
No, okay. So people would just have to call
them.
There's
also Medicaid transportation that some people use if they're going to the doctor next to a clinic next to a
Well, so what about that? Can you talk a little more about that, about Medicaid transportation? Who can use that?
People on Medicaid.
Primarily
it's for, doctor visits and that kind of stuff.
Medical transports.
Yeah, medical transports. But some people are very creative.
Yes.
And there's a clinic real close to the center in Ilwaco, and
the hospital
is right next door.
Right behind it.
So
they can be creative in
getting there.
Yeah, well, that's nuts. So, Michelle, let me ask you a question about that. Is there Dial-A-Ride over here in Oregon?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Sunset Transit has the Dial-A-Ride program and a paratransit program for people with disabilities. And then again, the Dial-A-Ride mostly is our Medicaid folk that... most of the programs, like Doug was saying, most of them are for medical transportation. There are some of our programs that if you have like in-home services what we call waivered services in our office that can allow for other kinds of shopping too. But that's up to between them and their case manager to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
I'd like to add this to help give Michelle here. The Sunset Transit here in Astoria has just recently developed a new program that they're going to be able to come to a person's home, pick them up, and take them either shopping or even to the senior center and drop them off and then come back and pick them up at a later time. And it's supposed to kick off this week, I believe. Sunset Transportation received a two-year grant for this program, and so we down at the Senior Center are real excited about it because the folks don't have to qualify to use a service, just have to call in advance and make a reservation. So
wow.
That's really going to be great for the folks who need transportation, not only to shopping, but also to the Senior Center.
Right, that's really terrific. Well, Larry, just to get back to the Astoria Senior Center for a moment, I want to ask the same question I asked Candy, and that is, how is it funded? Where does the money come from?
Well, of course, we're a nonprofit organization, and we do charge dues. Our dues are $20 a year. We have approximately 560 members, which sounds like a lot, but it really doesn't fund the Senior Center. How we pretty much survive is we do receive a few donations, but many years ago, the center received an endowment fund, and it's been invested. We have a trust board who controls the expenditures, so we basically live off of the interest that this trust fund or this endowment creates for us. And of course, you know, over the last few years, investments haven't been all that great, so it's kind of been pretty tough, but we're keeping our head above water. We do depend on donations from folks too.
Wow, that's pretty terrific.
I'd like to add something about because they both mentioned home-delivered meals. And Candy with Coastal Community Action, they also do, they're contracted to do in-home care for clients. Mm-hmm. So there is a tie-in for the caregivers to be able to transport them to the meal site and so on. But the home-delivered meals, when we think about those, we think, well, that's good because people are shut in or they can't fix their own meals, so they get these meals delivered to them. But what happens very often is that home-delivered meal person that actually brings the meal is kind of a first contact for maybe some other issues that are going on. Time and time again, we've had someone deliver a meal and then they'll tell Candy, you know, it looks like they really need some help or something's going on or they couldn't get to the door or something like that. And then she can contact us or they or them, and we all sort of work together then. But without that home-delivered meal going there, there would be no one would have an idea that this person needs some extra help. And very often, the route has been home-delivered meals see something, it's looked into, they end up on Medicaid in-home care services, they have a provider, things stabilize and all of that. So it's very beneficial to have those home-delivered meals, not only for the nutrition part, but just so there's some eyes there if
overall
other help
well-being
might be needed. Yeah.
So then, Candy, let me ask you to elaborate a little bit on that about the home care services. What's that about?
We do all the home care. We do the caregiving. So I've got about 45 clients and about 24 staff members. and we do anything from nacelle all the way to the far end of the peninsula.
Wow. Is that income dependent? Do people have to qualify for that? Or is that for anybody who...
Well, there's private pay, and then there's also state pay, which is the COPES program. We do respite, and we also do DDD, personal care. So it runs you about $22 an hour if you do private pay. We do shoppings, errands, house cleaning, doctor's appointments, showers, whatever needs to be done.
Wow, that's terrific.
Yeah.
So just a question about how long your organizations have been around. Candy, how long has Coastal Community Action been around? Do you know? I mean, many years or recent?
Long time.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's
and they're actually centered in, there are different community action programs throughout the state. There's Ole CAP and all these other different CAP organizations. But Coastal Community Action has been in the Grays Harbor Pacific County for a long time. And they cover, in that organization, they cover everything from energy assistance to long-term care ombudsman programs and all of that. So it's pretty large and pretty invested in the communities, and it has a long track record.
Hmm. Well, Larry, what about the Astoria Senior Center? Do you know how long it's been around approximately?
Well, it has been in the building that we occupy, well, the Senior Center down on 11th Street. We've been there since 1984. And prior to that, I do know that the Senior Center was founded by a Catholic nun here in town, and a couple various houses around. I can't tell you exact dates or anything. I probably should know it, but I don't.
So are there, just to talk about parallel services, are there any care services like they offer in Owaka? Is there anything through like that through the Astoria Senior
Center?
No,
there really isn't. We kind of count on Northwest Senior Services to provide
right.
that, and we really don't provide any care like that at all. Of course, we provide all the care we can when someone comes in the building and they need assistance or something, but we don't offer what they offer.
Okay. Did you want to say something, Michelle?
Well, yeah, that's we're spread out a little bit differently than the Washington
right,
side,
right.
But through our agency, people do get in-home care services, and quite often that can include shopping and nutritional, preparing meals and things. We have Oregon Project Independence as a non-Medicaid program that a lot of people can qualify for. Has really little to do with income or resources. You just have to be over 60 and need some sort of personal care. And that can include meal preparation as a personal care item in that program. And you pay on a sliding fee scale. So if you've got higher income coming in, then you pay a little bit for your services, but a lot less than you would on a private pay situation. And then we also have our Medicaid in-home services programs and state personal care programs that help with in-home care. In addition, we have a couple agencies in our county that do provide private in-home care help, and that's probably between $18 and $22 an hour for private in-home care. But they do all the management, which is nice on an agency like that, is that you don't have to worry about whether you hold taxes out or what your liability is, or if you want to hire and fire, or you're not quite happy with your caregiver, they'll help you with that. Or the caregiver's sick one day and they need a substitute, you don't have to do that. There's also a home care commission has home care workers online that you can access and call directly and hire privately and negotiate your own price for. So there's a lot of options, and I don't expect everybody to remember that, but just call our agency and we'll hook them up.
Right. I think that's one of the most interesting things in the years that I've been doing this show. I've learned so much about what the options are, and I think that a lot of times people sit out there and they feel like they're alone in the world with this whatever issue they're dealing with, and it's really not true. Between the organizations that are represented in this room right now, there's a wide range of possibilities, and so don't assume that there's no help for you if you have an issue, if you need transportation, if you need a meal, if you need something. There's probably a way to get some help. And you can start by talking to people at the either Northwest Senior and Disability Services or the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Or if you're down the street from the Coastal Community Action Program, you can go down there and talk to them, or you can contact the people at the Astoria Senior Center. There are other groups, other senior centers around our region, and they all offer different services. But the nice thing is that there's a spectrum of services that together you can probably get what you need, and you won't have to be, you know, we've addressed a lot of issues on the show, among them, you know, everything from caregiver burnout to people being too lonely and stuck in their homes. And so there's a lot of options that are, you know, represented on our show every month, and there's a lot of help that you can get. Michelle, you were wanting to talk a little bit about activities. Is there anything else that you want to talk about other than the specific things we've mentioned?
Oh, sure. We have, we partner with several organizations throughout the county to provide some of those evidence-based classes that we talked about earlier. So for instance, Columbia Memorial Hospital has several classes that we help partner with and sponsor for people who are over 60, and so they're free. And things like, they have a strong bones class that helps you build and strengthen your body to help prevent falls and stay healthy. We have a Living Well with Chronic Conditions class. There's a 6-week class that goes over self-management skills for any kind of chronic condition you may have. We have a Matter of Balance class, nutritional education classes, Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And again, those are partnerships with other agencies so that it allows us to do those for free. There's a Tai Chi for arthritis through the Clatsop Community College, which actually right now is enrolling people for that. And again, if you're over 60, that's going to be free for you. In Seaside, at the Bob Chisholm Center, they also have a Tai Chi class for arthritis available and an arthritis exercise program. So again, those are all that information is all available through our agency. But again, look for those classes that maybe are sponsored and are evidence-based.
Well, we're kind of at the point in the show where I like to give contact information. And there's probably a lot more we could talk about on this issue, but we're a little bit running out of time. But the bottom line is, if you if you think you might want to access any of these services, you have plenty of options here. So, Michelle, why don't we start with you? How do we get in touch with you?
Okay, so it's Northwest Senior and Disability Services, and we're in Warrenton up by Costco area next to the animal shelter. And our phone number is 503-861-4200.
Okay, and Doug, how about you?
Well, our Raymond office in North Pacific County is at 360-942-2177. And our Long Beach office is 360-642-3634. Our website is www.o3a.org.
Okay, and Candy, you're with the Coastal Community Action Program in Ilwaco. How do we get in touch with you?
So we're right behind the hospital in Ilwaco, next door to the library, and it's 360-642-3990. Our Aberdeen office is 360-533-5100.
Great, and Larry, Astoria Senior Center, how do we get a hold of you?
And right now we're temporarily located at the old Astoria Yacht Club, which is 1555 West Marine, and our permanent home is 1111 Exchange Street, and you can call us 5 days a week at 503-325-3231.
That's terrific. Well, you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. We'll see you next month.